The evil demonic spirits, they don't care if the seed of Abraham is Jewish DNA or if it's grafted in Christian DNA. All he knows is he is after destroying the covenant.
Actual activation of the timing, to act when the timing hits. Can you speak more to that?
You can't just say, well, I'm going to ignore it. It's not how this works. It's dangerous. This message is kind of a tornado alley. I'm going to say on August the 12th and the 13th, these things happen. And the thing is if you're prayed up and you're aware, then, you know, you can make plans accordingly.
Well, hey, everyone, you're listening to the Kurt Landry Podcast. We're going to help you discover your kingdom destiny. My name is Daryl, and sitting across from me is Rabbi Kurt Landry. And in this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast, we're going to be discussing the ninth of Av and why this time is so important for Christians. But before we get going, everyone wants to know, Rabbi, what have you been up to, man?
Hey, listen, it's been exciting. I'm enjoying this summer and enjoying this time. You know, I usually will minister once or twice at House of David on the ninth of Av. In Hebrew, it's Tish B'Av, the ninth of Av. And the reason is because Christy and I in 2005, Daryl, had the most one of the most impactful times in our walk with the Lord, and this was in 2005. Now, Tish B'Av this year is going to be August the 12th through the 13th, sundown on August the 12th through the 13th of August. But in 2005, not planned, Christy and I were actually with the IDF Army, and we were down at the border of Gaza at an area called Gush Katif. And at that time, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon made a decision to evacuate, I think, about 8,000 Jewish people from their homes in the northern Gaza Strip. And we were actually there doing humanitarian aid and filming. But I can't tell you that here it is, to make a choice to actually do the evacuation on the 9th of Av kind of fits a spiritual pattern that if you can understand, there's a pattern of when good things happen, but there's also a pattern when bad and evil things happen. And this is what we experienced. It was probably the most painful experience we've ever had because we were watching our IDF soldiers actually having to physically remove Jewish people from their homes. And there was like a tent city that they set up in a triage area. And we were in that triage actually ministering humanitarian aid and comfort to the people who were being evacuated. It was a very difficult time. So it was interesting because obviously we went back after October 7th to the same place in the Gaza Strip. And after the attack and the war that started in Israel. So there's something about, I think the Lord has something for us in this season about the ninth of Av. And I believe that as I unpack it and share it, it may give people some strategy, hope, and some, particularly with planning issues. I think that it might help them. And I think if they're going to listen to this podcast, I think it might be able to enlighten them to help make some good plans. I do know this for us, spiritually, physically, in every way, understanding God's calendars, times, and ways has helped us to prosper, but it also helped us to avoid trouble. I think sometimes when you talk about trouble, people don't want anything negative, but you have to understand let's just break it down this way. I can teach you how to financially prosper, but if I don't teach you how to avoid the areas where there's traps, who cares how much you prosper if you lose it all because you fell into the trap? And that's kind of what this podcast will be about, is how to avoid the attacks of the enemy. It says in the New Testament, be wise of the serpent. And it actually translates out, not so much in the Greek, but in the Hebrew, that scripture said, be wise of the serpent's ways. And that's probably what we're going to talk about today, is just to kind of enlighten that there is patterns with God and patterns with Satan, and let's avoid Satan and stay out of the trap. I think we'd agree with that.
The past 2 weeks, we've talked a lot about habits and patterns. Even did a really neat testimonial interview with Randy Williams, who is a long longtime friend for you, longtime member over at House of David here in Fairland, Oklahoma, and really, really powerful. If you missed those episodes, please go back. Two episodes ago, just basically habits and patterns. And so, like, that would be a really good first step into this episode, I think. And then just the last episode with Randy, really, really strong testimonial. But one thing I wanted to point out before we get into this, and so we've been running and producing a lot of really cool Covenant Partner testimonials. One of them that we did is Jason, and Jason's been a Covenant Partner with us since 2020. Mm-hmm. And when I was interviewing him and just kind of listening to his heart and his story around being in covenant with COM, he really talked a lot about timing. Right?
Yeah.
When to activate, when to act, and really tied that in when he first found you off it was an ad somewhere in 2020, and then found one of your live streams that you're doing back in the COVID days, right? That you were saying something prophetically with timing, and he went and did it, and it worked. And one of his sound bites was, well, this is, you know, a Jewish believer in the roots who's also a Christian, believes in Jesus. Maybe there's something to this guy. And, you know, it's something to sitting back with a feast and honoring God with that timing. But he talked a lot about the actual activation of the timing to act when the timing hits. Can you speak more to that?
Yeah, well, and I want to add, just to add color to this, Jason's a good friend to our family as well as the ministry. But, you know, he helps us with a lot of stuff. He's very talented, but he's also an Asian brother from the Bay Area. So, and it's interesting for me, being raised in Los Angeles, I interact with a lot of people from California and Bay Area, and it's just like in New York. I've got relatives from New York. They have a different mindset. And then you have the LA, San Francisco, that whole mindset. It's different. It's how you're raised. It's a different culture. So basically, if I remember his testimony right, I was talking about it's time to financially move. And he did. And he got blessed. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. That's where the prophetic has... I'll give you a prophetic word for this year. It doesn't take a prophet to know that things are going to get difficult before November because of the election. Okay, we know that the gloves are off, and in the midst of that, there's going to be stuff that happens. And that, you know, it's okay, but the key is how do you stay emotionally detached? I'm talking about making decisions for your family. You cannot get caught up in all the political rhetoric that's going to happen, because it's going to get ridiculous. And I'm not prophesying. I just know how in the United States, every 4 years, everyone becomes like third graders again. So here we go. It's how it works. I'm not trying to fix it. But at the same time, you have to say, okay, what do I invest in? What do I purchase? All these types of things. And, you know, because there's financial patterns that always follow an election year. And so you just kind of need to be in tune. But there's also a spiritual, which we're going to talk about a little bit, that spiritual weather channel that says this is what happens before elections as well. So you've got to make decisions for your family. You have to make decisions when you travel, when you don't travel, what you invest in, where you go, what you believe, all those types of things. Guess what? You can ask the Lord and he'll show you the patterns. I'm going to give you a little bit of a history here. So it's not my opinion. You know, the facts don't lie. I'll be my own fact checker here. You can look that on the 9th of Av, bad stuff has always happened in regards to Israel and the Jewish people. So why does that pertain to Christians? Because Christians are tied in to the covenant of Abraham. It's a covenant. It's a contract that God made with humans through Abraham that we are grafted in through the blood of Jesus. So what happens is the spirits, the evil demonic spirits, they don't care if the seed of Abraham is Jewish DNA or if it's grafted in Christian DNA. All he knows is he is after destroying the covenant. He does not want the Jews and he does not want the Christians to be blessed. That's his job. That's one of his assignments, is to destroy them. So the key is, if we have a handle on when he is going to attack, it's no different. I mean, you've moved here from Florida, and now you're, especially this year, you're getting a dose that when the sirens go off, it's probably, that we're in Tornado Alley. You can't just say, well, I'm going to ignore it. It's not how this works. It's dangerous. So this message is kind of a Tornado Alley. I'm going to say on August the 12th and the 13th, these things happen. And the thing is if you're prayed up and you're aware, then, you know, you can make plans accordingly, you know.
So
does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. So like, let me make a rhetorical statement / question asked, because you said something about, at least in my brain, as you were saying, I was trying to analyze it, that there's a lot of wisdom. And it, I mean, not even from the prophetic side, right, of saying, kind of back to Jason's testimony of, you know, acting on something financially. I think he mentioned like the stocks, when stocks were just crashing, and you were like, hey, next week, and it's going to stay up, invest. And he went and did it, and he was just amazed, because the stocks just, he did two or three, and they're just unbelievable returns, right? But you said something on the other end, was that there's a spiritual side of, I think, activation or investment, right? And so, yes. And so there's a physical investment, there's a spiritual investment. So I guess the rhetoricalness of this conversation really is that it's obviously more important, you know, in alignment to the feast, to certain appointed times, you know, like the ninth of Av, being aware of what's going to be happening and what we're bound from a covenant perspective of understanding why and being ready. And so walk the viewers and listeners through juggling the physical and then the spiritual investment.
Yeah. And that's all this is. This is I'm not asking people to think the way I think, okay? So,
I guess let me ask this first. Did I explain it kind of correct?
Yeah.
Because I was jumping around everywhere. I was trying to get thoughts together.
Yeah. No, you're good. And we're using Jason as an example. So like, and Jason didn't know me at the time, but what happens is he got results. Because the prophetic, I think not all prophets and not all prophets, and I'm not patting myself on the back. A lot of what I bring prophetically has to do with understanding the calendar of God, because the plumb line from heaven to earth with God's heart is Jerusalem. So that's Israel. So what happens if you understand what's happening in the times and seasons in Jerusalem and Israel, then it helps you to understand what's going to happen. Let's say you're doing an investment someplace. A lot of the investing that I have done has been at times when everybody else was not doing it, but it's turned out that it was the right move. But here's one of the principles. Narrow is the way, pressured is the gate, and few that finds it. So I'm not one that runs with the crowd. I've never been like that. You know, say my birthday, I'm 69. I've never just like, oh, look at that, crowd's going that way. Most likely, whatever's there, the potential is already drained out of it. It's not, by the trends, right? Yeah. The time it trends, it's over. So what happens is in the investment world, which, you know, I used to be in that world. So my brain goes there, but what happens is you have to get stuff on the inside before. That's kind of what this message is. So, let me just take the viewers through from, let's start with Passover. Okay. So we just had Passover. Many of you joined us. So basically the first step is Passover, not in the civil calendar, but the spiritual calendar. Passover is the beginning of a new year. Okay. It's a fresh start. Okay. So what happens is every year, what we do and what I think all Christians should do, this, you know, Jesus said that, do this in remembrance of me at the Last Supper, which was Passover. Okay. So, and Paul said that in Colossians, he said it was an everlasting covenant and to keep the feast. So why is this? If you think about it, in the spring, you have the first thing that starts to happen in the spring is there is a wake-up call, and the wake-up call before the new year is a feast called Purim. That's where Esther and Mordecai make a decision to actually, as small as they are, confront the evil that was trying to kill the Jewish people. But they made a decision to prepare, go to the king with decrees, and they overcame. So the first thing is two people, Esther, Mordecai, early spring, they make a decision to say yes to God, kind of like Nehemiah, we're going to rebuild the walls. It's a pattern. So you have Purim. You have that victory. Now you're at Passover. At Passover, what you have to do is say, okay, I've gotten the victory over what was attacking me, but I have to leave behind the Egyptian Hellenized thinking pattern. I'm not a slave. I cannot think as a slave and go into a promised land where I actually have like authority. So you have Passover. Okay, you have unleavened bread where you get the sin out. Now you have 50 days, it's called the counting down of the Omer, where you prepare yourself to, so to say, cleanse your mind and your soul from slave mentality, preparing yourself for Shavuot, which is the instruction. So what happens is, if you don't cleanse your mind from old thoughts before you put new thoughts in, it's called confusion.
So Purim, Passover, Shavuot, I'm going to skip over the fall feast unless you want to touch it, but I wanted to skip forward to the Maccabees and Hanukkah and kind of where we start to where we actually finish for God's timing. So like walk me through, the spiritual side of this is where we started Purim, we're ending here at Hanukkah, and then the year turns over.
Okay, so let me give you just the real basic is this. This is like Arabella understands this, okay? She's 8 years old, and so I do know it can be imparted, but she's heard it her whole life, okay?
I'm going to stop and really pay attention if an 8-year-old's got it, so let's go.
No. I'm just saying with you is that why? Because she gets to dress up like Esther, and we have a Purim party. Okay. And then she gets to, at 8 years old, she gets to also go shopping with Nana and her mom for a Passover dress. Okay. She's 8 years old. This is important. Okay. She doesn't care that there's 400 plus people coming to House of David. All she cares about is all her little friends from Covenant Academy. They're all going out and getting Passover dress, you know, and it's like a thing. So this is with children. So what happens is you're a queen. Now the queen's getting separated from the slavery, okay? And now Moses comes in, rescues the queen, and now they're going to go down 50 days. And while they're resting on the other side of the Red Sea, that 50 days, they're losing the thought of, so to say, I'll do it for Bella. She's the housekeeper. She's going to become Cinderella. She still was Cinderella when her wicked stepmother had her bound. But now that Passover has come, she's leaving that house and she's got 50 days to prepare herself to become the queen, because it's only her foot that fits in the slipper. So now what happens is when she becomes the queen at Shavuot, what happens is now there's instruction. She has to learn how to prepare to be the queen. So that's when the Ten Commandments come, okay? And now we're getting into the feast we're talking about that comes in the middle between Shavuot and the fall feast of Rosh Hashanah. There's a test, and the test is called the ninth of Av, Tish B'Av. There's always a test. So anytime you think about it, she obeyed at Purim, got set free at Passover, prepared 50 days for the empowerment of the fire and wisdom to get to Shavuot, and now we get into the midsummer between Rosh Hashanah and Shavuot, and it's Tishbe Av. So the ninth of Av is a time of testing, is that will we be able to pass the test? And Daryl, the test is this. Will we trust in what God said?
Warp me through to Hanukkah, right?
Okay.
But explain it to me with like the princess analogy.
Did you like that? Okay.
I think people listening and people watching, I mean, everybody's pretty much seen Cinderella. You know, there's probably a few that haven't, right? You know, if they're... probably shouldn't say it, but you know, if there are certain areas of life, they probably haven't seen it. But I'm going to say 98% of people at this point in 2024 have seen it. So it makes it really relatable as you're talking about the stages of that story, as you were talking about the feast. And then when you get to the end, I'd love for you to dive into it on the spiritual timing and like the actual activation, because I think everybody realizes what this time is to look out for it. And if you follow the feast, or, you know, especially if you have, now you're getting informed, you're going to get ready. If you haven't been following the feast so far in 5784, now it's a little bit of a wake up call for like what's actually about to happen. So walk me through as we get through the fall feast, maybe you can touch those a little bit, and then Hanukkah, and then just spiritual investment and like, you know, the actual preparation of this time.
Okay, so after Shavuot, you have the test, which is the ninth of Av. After you pass the test by faith, okay, the Lord takes you through, you overcome, then you come into the fall, and the first one is Rosh Hashanah. It's the Feast of Trumpets, and Rosh Hashanah is the civil new year, okay? So that's the Feast of Trumpets, and then the next week after you celebrate that, the next week is what they call Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So what happens is you blow the trumpet, you start afresh, Yom Kippur, you repent, you get cleansed from all the things from Passover through Shavuot, through the test. There were things that you didn't like about the way they came out in yourself. You repent at Yom Kippur, then you go another week, and the next week is the Feast of Sukkot. Sukkot is basically a wedding feast. It's basically where you make a fresh commitment to the Lord, and you say it's a harvest feast. You sow a seed, and you say, Father God, I'm going to marry. We're under a huppah, and you kind of solidify the covenant for that year. Then you get into, usually in December, and you have what we call a minor feast, and it's Hanukkah. What's the story of Hanukkah? The story of Hanukkah is when, again, the evil empire of Antiochus IV tries to Hellenize the whole world. And basically, the only way he can Hellenize the whole world is to remove the Jewish God, the monolithic, worshiping, single God worshiping Jews. That was the same problem that they had in Egypt, was they only worshiped one God, and the Egyptians worshiped, you know, multiple gods. So here is this test again. And basically, at this time, the Hellenized Antiochus IV, they take over the temple, and they Hellenize Jewish people to basically do kind of a New Age worship type thing. And then one guy, again, kind of like Purim, one guy, Judah Maccabee, an older guy, the Antiochus IV, their commanders and their brigades come into a town called Modi'in. They're in Modi'in, which is an actual real place to this day. And they demanded that the Judah and his sons sacrifice a pig on the altar on Shabbat. That was enough. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. They said, no, we're not doing that. They overcame and slayed the brigade and killed him. And then they had to go by night out of Modi'in, up the hills of the Judean hills, up into Jerusalem. They cleansed the temple. And the miracle is, after they cleansed it, there was a statue of Zeus in there. They pulled the statue down, they cleansed it, and there was a great menorah. And in the great menorah, they only had one jug of oil, and they needed to light the candle for 8 days to restore it. 8, the number of new beginnings. So then what happens is the oil miraculously renews itself, kosher according to the law of Moses. And so they had miraculous light fill the lamp, And they became victorious, and peace came to the land because the temple of God was restored. So if you think about it, if you start celebrating the feast, every year you're going to have a choice. Every year, a choice to choose to be an Esther, choose to leave Egypt. You're going to choose to wait and be empowered with instruction. You're going to choose to overcome the Tish B'Av battles. You're going to choose to awaken in the fall to a new trumpet and a new opportunity. You're going to choose to repent on Yom Kippur, and you're going to choose to renew your covenant at Sukkot. And after you do that, the test is, will you be a Maccabee and run the devil out of the temple and make an impact?
So, you know, I one thing I love about this podcast, we just kind of go with the flow. and I think for people listening, watching, listening over at Spotify or Apple or over at KurtLandry.com/podcasts, watching on YouTube or Facebook, I think they got a really good breakdown. You know, it's a more content that we actually create together. And you know, we've been off camera and now on combined for a little over 2 years. And it's one thing that I love that we're getting into is that I feel like for me, for someone coming into it 2 years ago, there's a lot of education and it just takes time. You know, it takes a really, really long time to understand this stuff. And it's simple, right? But like, I think as you go throughout the year, you know, I mean, like God's timing, God's calendar, when you really understand it, things start actually working a little bit different for you in the physical. And so like, that's why I kind of wanted to go in the direction with a couple of the first things that you said was, you know, off the physical investment versus the spiritual investment. And it kind of led us down of getting an entire year's worth of a like feast overview from a 8-year-old Cinderella perspective, which I think is so foundational for people listening and watching to really understand. You know, I think it's something that we honestly can't talk about enough. And, you know, I just think it's really good stuff, Rabbi.
Well, listen, you're going to find that the patterns work this way. Okay, let me give you a real life thing that happened to me today, and I know this is taped. I got a very serious call from the military in Israel this morning. Okay, that's what I woke up with, and it wasn't a good call. And it has to do with some of the decisions that our government is making, withholding funding for Israel to be able to finish what it's doing right now. And it's causing some real issues. And I can't go into it. But it's interesting that my phone blings and because in Missouri, and we're close, that there's a 3.8, the largest earthquake on the New Madrid Fault, that happened also at about 3 a.m. That's the same time that the story that I was getting from our soldiers, and I can't go into it. All of this is about the same time. So what happened is and that was the word that the Lord gave me, was that as the United States needs to stand with Israel and be blessed. And then the word that John Kilpatrick gave years ago, if the United States turns against Israel, that there would be an earthquake at the New Madrid Fault. Well, the largest one of this year, of 2024, just happened. And it's interesting that it happened on the same time that there's actual physical consequences on the ground with soldiers because of decisions that the current administration is making. I mean, it's like my phone went bing and bang. So, I mean, that's how real this is for me, okay? This isn't like... And I prophesied it, and I submit my words to other prophets, but you can't make this stuff up. It's all on the phone. It's right there. And, so I think you say it's not that it's difficult. You just need to make it your lifestyle. You need to do the research. Let me give you an example. Let's talk about the ninth of Av. And you could say, well, how do you know that bad things always happen on the 9th of Av? Do I have time? I want to say this for the next broadcast.
Yeah, no. I guess leave with this for your lasting thoughts in this episode. So, like, just give me what you got, and okay, then we'll wrap this up, and then come back if we feel like we need to touch this again.
Okay. Here's the history. Okay, listen, I'm a history buff. So, because if you don't understand history, you're doomed to repeat it. So, the Bible is the greatest history book there is, as far as I'm concerned, but that's my opinion. Okay. But if you look at the 9th of Av and the tragedies that have happened to Israel, the covenant people, let me just go down the list. The 10 spies brought a bad report to in the Promised Land. When did they bring the bad report? 9th of Av. Okay. King Nebuchadnezzar destroys the first temple, 586 BC. When? The 9th of Av. The Romans destroy the second temple, 70 AD. When? The 9th of Av. Not like kind of. Just think about this. The Batar fortress was breached and destroyed for the Bar Kokhba revolt. When? 9th of Av. Roman general Tunus Refius plowed over the temple once where it stood. When? The 9th of Av. Jewish people in York, England, were victims of anti-Semitism massacre in 1190. Where were they trapped? Where they were trapped and murdered? When? The 9th of Av. Jewish people were expelled from England in 1290. When? On the 9th of Av. The Jewish people were expelled from Spain in 1490. When? On the 9th of Av. Germany declared war on Russia, and World War I began, leading to the Holocaust. When did it start? The 9th of Av. Ariel Sharon, the first time excavating Jewish people from their land out of Gush Katif in the Gaza Strip, 2005. When? The 9th of Av. So I just state my case that the calendar not only shows us when God blesses, but it also shows us when Satan curses.
So pay attention to the 9th of Av this year, because those are huge historical dates.
And I actually have more. I trimmed it down. There are other stuff, World War II stuff that's happened, stuff in the United States. Yeah. And I think that if any year, Daryl, I'm really trying to get people to really stay focused and stay, you know, the word the Lord gave me here a while back was rest in the nest. I think that's really what people need to do, is you really need to invest in your spiritual life. You need to join us on Friday nights for our Shabbat service. You need to be watching all the shorts and the downloads and the things that we're bringing. You need to order our books on the spring and fall feast. You need to order my workbook on biblical finance. The best protection that you can have for your life is to be biblically, financially in alignment with God, because it says in Malachi chapter 3, he says, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake." So if you want supernatural protection physically, financially, in every other way, you just need to bring tithes and offering. And one of the mysteries of it is in Malachi 3 and 6, where it says, "And the offerings of old shall be pleasant as in the days of old." That means you bring an offering Passover, Shavuot, and at Sukkot. Those three times a year, those bringing tithes and offerings to the Lord will keep you protected. That's the wisest thing I can tell people. And people say, well, I don't know if I want it. It's that complicated. Listen, you have to make a decision not to be an average Christian. In this hour, you need to decide, I'm going to be an excellent Christian. And if you're going to be excellent and you're going to go from good to great, then you're going to have good to great behavior. And part of that behavior is understanding the calendar.
So, final thought for people listening and watching in this episode?
Well, we're at July 4th. I want to say, happy Independence Day. And this is a big event for us. I'm as Yankee Doodle as they come. And I love to barbecue and have for most of my adult life. And we'll have a huge event here. And the area that we live in is just, you know, Firework City, and we do a lot of fireworks here, even at House of David. So I want to say thank you to that. But I want you to be prepared and watch August the 12th and 13th. I'm not a date setter, but I would be in prayer for the United States, particularly with some of the choices that we're making, and ask the Lord that in grace to remember mercy and to download our Psalm 91. That's a free download of our prayer, Psalm 91. And I would be praying Psalm 91 on that day.
Okay. Well, I overall, I think maybe one of the most impactful episodes that we've done.
Wow. Thank you.
Yeah. It just took you explaining it to me like I was under 10.
Yeah. Well, I had a friend tell me the other day, said, Rabbi, everything you write at fifth grade level. And, but the thing that, listen, I she's very smart, but to watch Arabella, I'll just close with a great story. They all came back from their trip and they had colds, so they couldn't come to House of David Friday night. So first of all, they all cry. They want to come to House of David. So that's exciting. But they said, okay, we're going to watch Saba on the screen. So they, you know, go to the live stream. And she went down and got her purple Bible that Nana bought her and a notepad and started writing notes at 8 years old of what I preached on Friday night. Now, what she's doing is she's mirroring behavior. We didn't tell her to go do that. She watches. That's what her folks do. That, you know, when Chuck Pierce came, she was there. What was Saba doing? I'm writing notes. Because why do I write notes in the service? Because I'm visually seeing him. I'm auditorily hearing him. I'm kinesthetically feeling the emotion of what he's saying, but I'm also cerebrally now writing. And what happens is if I activate all those things with the way God created me, I'm going to have an impartation. My funnel gets bigger with everything I do to absorb the information. And, you know, Chuck's message was embrace the moment. I think anytime you're listening to Christian content and you have a man or a woman that's filled with the Holy Spirit, you have to understand God's speaking to you. I'm not God. I understand that. But the Spirit of the living God is in us. And so that's why if you'll take it seriously, I know this, I take God very serious. And that's one of the reasons he speaks to me. He's welcome to stop me at any time. And, whatever I'm doing, and I'm going to listen. But when I listen, I do listen, hear, write, and I remember it. And so if I could leave that with you, I pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, for everyone that's watching, that the Lord would give you a hunger to be able to press in. Listen, not to be smarter, you will be. Not to be more prosperous, you will be. Not to be healthier, because you will be. The reason is that, oh, that I might know him. Because the greatest joy in the midst of all the suffering in this world is knowing God. And the fact that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on a cross to expunge our sins so that we could even talk to his dad is an amazing gift that for me, I just thank the Lord for every day, but I thank the Lord for you as well. So press in. And if you don't know him, you just need to say, Jesus, I need you as my Lord and Savior. I'm a sinner. I can't make it through this life on my own. But Lord, with you, I ask you to come into my life and be the Lord and teach me to follow your ways and teach me to walk in your calendar, not legalistically, but that we might be friends and we walk together because you've invited me to your table. And I don't take that for granted. And you anoint my head with oil. And my cup will overflow when I do it God's way. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Kurt Landry Podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure to hit subscribe, hit the bell for notifications for every piece of content that comes out of the Kurt Landry Ministries YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook as well. And also subscribe to Spotify or Apple, just wherever you get your podcasts. We can't thank you enough. We'll see you next time.